Hi, good Vach. This is Yisachar Wartell, and we are moving right through the Makos. That's right, 8, 9, and 10. We are in Parshat Bo. This is Yisachar Wartell, and we are going to dive right in and talk so many things to talk about. Obviously, it's a lot like Pesach. We can talk more about this, but right, let's not get ahead of ourselves, right? We got an extra month. We're not getting into Pesach right now. But in this first week of this week's Parsha, Hashem tells Moshe, Bo Aparo. That's the name of the parsha. Bo aparo, ki ani hechbarati et libo ve et levavado. Come to Paro, because I've hardened his heart and the heart of his servants. Now, we often translate the word hechbarati as I have hardened, yet it's actually I have made heavy. Interesting about the word kaved, but this lashon is interesting, right? Throughout the story of the Makot, both the roots of chazak, which means strong, and kaved, which mean heavy, are used. And interestingly enough, kaved actually comes up a slightly more frequently. Now, why is a specific term used? Why are both these terms used, really? But let's focus on the word kaved right now. Now, this root comes up in many other places. In fact, the first time it's used is in Sefer Shemot when Paro states that he will make the Jewish workload more heavy. As it states in Perek Hey, Pasuk Tet, Tit Chabed HaAvoda Al HaAnashim, and I will make the work heavier upon the men. Paro was just the first one to make things heavier, so Hashem punishes him, Mida Keneged Mida, just as you made things heavy for them. Without them, meaning the Jewish people, having a say in the matter, so too I will do to your heart, right? I will make your heart harder, whether you want it to happen or not. Now, the next root of kaved is actually quite fascinating, and it's often actually overlooked. It's in Yocheved's name, right? Moshe's mother, right? Her name, Yud, Vav, and then kaved, Chaf, Vet, Dalet, which literally means Hashem will honor, but can also mean Hashem will make heavy. Only from someone who recognizes that heavy and difficult times actually also come from Hashem can give birth to a son like Moshe, somebody who will be instrumental in Hashem utilizing this quote-unquote heaviness as a salvation. He was able to take the heaviness that was upon the Jewish people for these decades and decades and decades of slavery and ultimately turn it around into a kavod of Hashem. Kavod obviously has the same letter as well. Now, this salvation primarily begins with the onslaught of all 10 Makos. We're actually starting with Dan. And Chazal groups them together, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, and 7, 8, 9, or sometimes 7, 8, 9, and 10. Now, we have 8, 9, and 10 in this week's Parsha, but there is a little bit of a carryover from Barad as well. So 7 kind of straddles the border a little bit. But let's put this group of 7, 8, 9 together. By Barad, the hail, which is the seventh Maka, it's referred to as Kaved Me'od, very heavy. Now, it's no coincidence that it is after this plague that Paro exclaims, Chatati, I have sinned. There was something stirring. It's actually part of a much bigger discussion, but there was something stirring inside of him. The severity or heaviness of this plague actually struck the chord within his own heaviness, but there was something that wasn't quite right. He couldn't realize what it was, but on some level, he realized that he did something wrong, right? And that's why he says, Chatati. This is also symbolized in the description of Barad, as it's referred to immediately following the words of Kaved Me'od, are the words Asher Lo Haya Kamohu B'Mitzrayim. There was nothing like it in Mitzrayim. The hail, something as I believe I spoke about last week, was something unrecognizable. It was not clear what it truly was, and it's something I'd never been seen before. The fact that you had the ice mixed with the fire, and there were so many things that were unique and special about it. I mean, we also the locust is really unique, but at least locust was something they had seen before. This type of hail with the fire inside, it was just something really, really demonstrative of Hashem's subverting nature. Now, by Arba, the word kaved is also used, very heavy, right? It says kaved me'od, and refers to an unrecognizability on even a greater level. So even though locust or huge swarms of locusts which come in and devastate the crops is something that people have seen before, there was something that was so unique. I believe it's Rashi, based on the Midrash, says that they had, wings of eagles and talons like lions, or I don't know, something like that. They had this really, really strange locust. But there's a unique species of locust that had an insatiable appetite and perhaps also looked different. And then the pasuk also states, "V'lo yichol lirot et ha'aretz." Not only will the locust be a unique type that people have never seen before, but they will also be so thick and such of a dense cloud of locusts that they will not be able to see the land around, which also is actually a foreshadowing to the Makkah of Choshech, which is the next plague, darkness. The Torah does not use the term Kaved Me'od, but it's quite implied that it was pretty heavy since many or all of the Egyptians could not move, at least according to the explanation of Rashi and many others. And they couldn't see at all, right? It wasn't just they couldn't see the ground like by Arba, they couldn't see at all. But now, after we had seven, eight, nine, final strike, right? Or at least before we have Kriyas Yamsuf. But in Mitzrayim, we have the final strike, which is the final strengthening of Paro's heart. And Paro exclaims, Al tasif lirot panai, you shall no longer see my face. He couldn't deal with it. Paro was done not being able to see. And he said, Moshe, I can't see what's going on. I don't want you to see what's going on. I don't want you to see me. I want no more seeing, period. Paro couldn't see what was happening. As much as the Jewish people couldn't see why they were in, so that we can't understand the purpose of their suffering. But there was something about the 10th Makkah that it made it clear, and there was a whole revelation. I'll teach that they did Bris Milah, and they also had that dam in addition to the dam of shechting the sheep, which of course was a god of Mitzrayim, and they placed their faith in Hashem, and they put their trust in him wholeheartedly. They understood now that they were truly to leave Mitzrayim and to be part of something which was going to be one of the biggest things, if not the biggest thing ever in history, right? With, you know, and the coming out of a nation, and then of course receiving Torah, which was the biggest thing probably ever in history. And they would never return to Mitzrayim, at least they shouldn't return to Mitzrayim. They put their faith in HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and Paro was unfortunately had no choice, and really all the Mitzrayim, all the Egyptians could now see. They had no choice, right? By Choshech, they couldn't see anything. Now they saw everything, and everything was unfolding before their eyes. Everything that they thought was the reality was not the case. And you know, however, we should see that the world, you know, sees that vis-a-vis Israel soon. But getting back to our parsha, the weight and heaviness of the Egyptian exile had finally ended, and the heaviness in Paro's heart sank with a devastating weight until ultimately there was nothing left, and he had to just give up and let the Jews go. Again, it was still there, though, which is why, you know, chased after the sea. And again, it's part of a whole big mahalach. It's part of a whole thing. It's interesting why the situation in general, though, had to be kaved me'od. Now, the words kaved me'od numerically equal to male, right? 71, which means full or complete. The previous makot were full measures of punishment, but the overall punishment and primary mission was far from complete. After Bnei Israel leaves Mitzrayim, the Torah then writes something very interesting. V'chizakti, again, here you use the word chazak, not kaved, which again, it's a very interesting discrepancy, and I don't have time to get into all the different breakdowns. There's a lot of very interesting things that come up in two different ways. So the chazakti et lev paro, the radafa charehem, the ikavda beparo, ubechol chelo, biyadu kinei Hashem. So even though he starts with the lashon of chazak, he actually uses both. The Torah uses both lashonos, right? It says, and I have strengthened chazak, the heart of paro, and he will chase after them, and I will be honored through paro and all of his army. And Mitzrayim will know that I am Hashem. Now, here, though, the root of kaved is specifically of kavod, of honor, because this weight, this heaviness was turned around, and it was all now for the glory of Hashem. And they could see everything. Everything that was heavy for the Jews was now heavy for Mitzrayim, and it was heavy for them to see all of this transforming before their eyes. Now, it's interesting that the Torah uses both roots of Chazak and Kaved, and perhaps it's hinting to the fact that Hashem placed a final heavy stumbling block in Paro's heart from which he could not turn back. Something else to think about. Like, it was just, you know, like if you think about the fact that he went through Makkos Bechoros, he went through everything, and yet he still chased after the Jews. Like, it's unfathomable. Like, how do you not realize what's going on? Obviously, it's only Bidei Shamayim. But we actually have the Pasuk again, very similar nature. Perek Yudal Pasuk Yud Zayin, where Bnei Israel is about to cross the Yam Suf, and use the same lashon of Vikavda. But in the very next Pasuk, the Hashem states, "V'yadu Mitzrayim kinei Hashem bichvadeti paro berichbo ufarshav." And Paro will know that I am Hashem bichvadeti. I'm going to translate that loosely as with my honor, with Paro, his chariots and his horsemen. This language of bichvadeti is clearly causative, and it's clear from the Pasuk that Hashem will be glorified by what is happening to them. The heaviness that will happen to Mitzrayim will in of itself create a honor and glory of Hashem by sanctifying his name and acknowledging to all, the entire world, you know, was able to witness some element of what's going on, whether it's splitting of the water, whatever it might be. But they were able to honor and understand that Hashem is the master of everything in the entire world, master of creation and nature. And therefore, you could read this pasuk as Mitzrayim will know that I am Hashem on account of placing heaviness on Paro, that Hashem gives mida keneged mida, that there is an act of punishment, but there is also acts of mercy and things like that. And there's a lot of lessons that can be learned, even within the story of the Kriyas Yam Suf itself and how people, you know, were tossed about or sank and things like that. There's so many lessons. We're just getting into it, but looks like my time is up. but it is something to think about. There's so many languages that are used either in multiple ways or two different languages that are used to mean similar things. And probably more than anywhere else in the Torah, the Pesach story, Yetziat Mitzrayim, has more of this. And this is just one piece of an amazing poem. Wishing you all an amazing Shabbat Shalom.